still appreciate that good singing tonight.
Amen.
I'm glad I know it.
Yes, amen. Yes, sir.
I'm glad I know it.
Yes,
amen. I remember when I was young, growing up as a kid, quite old, and then as a teenager, I could tell you, Brother Freddie, a lot about it. You know, I knew a whole lot more about the Lord than you did, but I was just as lost as you were. It's a great possibility to have a knowledge up here.
Yes, that's right.
And a relationship.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know what I found out, Brother Warren, that night that I trusted him as my Savior? I found out he was everything they said.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So much more.
Yes, sir, brother.
I'm still peeling back the layers.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Every layer is just something better and better. John was, when you turn to James chapter number 5, that's what I was preaching on, but you sure would preach. Brother John was talking about how many years today, brother?
37 years ago.
He said that woman done something to his heart. I remember that day, not the day they got married, but the day I did. That little green eyed girl walked through that door to Wide Open Springs and I saw her. Did you hear what Brother John said? Still does.
Amen.
Matter of fact, the relationship has probably grown.
Oh, yeah.
Right, Bill?
Yes, it has.
While they're celebrating tonight. Amen.
Lord,
our relationship with the Lord ought to grow too.
Yes,
amen. Amen. You know, a lot of people in church who haven't got past the first layer. You haven't got out of the foyer yet.
Amen.
You just got saved. And that's a good thing.
Right.
There's a whole lot more to salvation than just being saved.
Amen.
James chapter number 5, say amen if you're there, my fellow.
It
is running off my face. I have been trying to preach this message now for 3 weeks. And either the Lord moves in one way or the other and changes my heart or my mind, and I just haven't been able to get to it. And I didn't really understand why until Monday night in our Bible class. So this is going to go hand in hand. James chapter number 5, look with me at verse number 16. James chapter 5 and verse number 16. James says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. That's pretty plain, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're supposed to do one for each other?
Pray.
Let's pray. What if you prayed for everybody as much as you talk about everybody?
Yeah. Amen.
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 Guilty. You don't have to say amen, but you nod your head. Well, what if we did pray for each other as much as we talk about each other? Well, I'm a sold out, sanctified, born again. I don't talk about people. You lie.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be. It's hard to talk about somebody when you really pray for them.
Amen.
It really is. When you really carry a burden for somebody and you're really praying for them, it's hard to run them down to somebody else when you've been lifting them up before God.
Amen.
That ain't got nothing to do with the message, but it's in there. He said, pray one for another that you may be healed. That's not always a physical thing. Say that again. That's not always a physical thing. Certain denominations, that's all they think about. They preach in the realm of the natural. The flesh. Because that's all they got. There's a healing that can be done on the inside. It's far better than any outward healing you can imagine.
Amen.
And he says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How many of you agree with that statement?
Amen.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
We would all agree that prayer is a mighty thing. Probably the mightiest thing known to man. No other religion does it work. In Christianity alone, why? Because he's God and there's none beside.
That's right.
I'm not talking about denomination. Christians. I know we're not the only saved people on this planet. I'm talking about Christianity.
Amen.
Prayer really works.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Those poor Islamists, full of demons, bowing under the rug, praying toward Mecca, ain't nobody listening.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. I guarantee you they're more faithful to do it than those Baptist
folks.
Prayer's a big deal. You said, man, he preached on this all year last year. I don't want us to forget it. But he said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Here's the question tonight. How much is your prayers available? Remember when I preached that message maybe a few months ago, whenever it was, how is it working? You come to the altar over and over and over. Is it working? Are you getting anywhere? Are you closer to God after you get up than you were before you went down? Are you getting victory over something in your life? Or are you seeing prayers answered? How's it doing? Now, if the Bible's true, prayer works.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I thought about this a couple of weeks ago and then prepared this message. I thought about how in life we're going to have problems. We're not exempt just because you're a child of God. Some of them guys on TV preach, if you got a problem, it's because you sin. Sometimes that's the case, but not always. Most of my problems don't have anything to do with sin. Some of them do. I have problems today from stuff, sin I did long time ago.
Amen.
It's still bearing fruit. Amen.
Yes, sir.
But we all got problems, though. Car problems.
Yeah.
After a great service like we had Sunday, Miss Stacy came up there to fellowship. She said, "Jay, don't blame it. We had that great service. Rusty run a lap, nearly had a heart attack." Monday, the transmission went out in the van. Then she went on to say how they mistrusted God with it, and the Lord's done took care of it.
Amen.
Amen. We have car trouble, financial trouble, health trouble, marital trouble, children trouble. And we can go on and on and on and on about the troubles that we deal with. Here's where I want to focus tonight. The greatest trouble, I believe, that a Christian can have is prayer trouble.
Right.
The greatest trouble we can have is prayer trouble. Why is prayer the greatest trouble that we can have? Because it's prayer that can take care of all those other troubles put together.
Right.
Prayer trouble can take care of transmission. Prayer trouble can take care of the health issue. Prayer, not prayer trouble, but prayer. Am I making any sense? But if we're having problems in our prayer life, we better be able to put our finger on what the problem is. Back before I traded that Toyota truck in, it had 200,000 miles on it and every light on the dash that can come on, it was like a Christmas tree in there. Every light, it was all on. And I thought, man, before I trade this thing in, I ought to get that checked out. And I thought about taking it to the mechanic, somebody said, no. Just take it down here to AutoZone and they've got a machine.
Yeah.
They'll plug that thing up and it'll do a diagnostic and tell you every little thing's wrong with it. Well, I thought, well, that's cool. Sure enough, that guy come right out there in the truck, reached up on the dash, plugged the little thing in, he went, ooh. I bet there's 15 kind of sensors. It was bad. I made up my mind, I'm trading it in as is. Lights and all. I started to get a black Sharpie and color them out. That's your preacher talking right there.
I did.
I told him, I said, every light on it, it is what it is. Amen. But it was a diagnostic test. There's no way I could just look at all them lights and go, yep, it's probably this. Our feet good, I can't. It's probably this. It's probably this O2 sensor. It's probably one of these things. It's probably that. And I couldn't do that. I had to have it diagnosed.
Right.
Sometimes we go to the doctor with a health problem. We don't know what's going on or what's wrong. And that doctor will pinpoint and put his finger on, oh, here's the problem.
Amen.
Here's the problem. A lot of times we have pain and we address the symptom, but not the problem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Advil's good for a headache. I took two before I came to church tonight. But all that does is address the symptom.
Amen. Right, right.
It numbs the pain.
Amen.
It does not cure the sinus infection.
Yeah.
Amen. Here's what we like to do in our prayer life. We like to go through our little motions.
Amen.
Go down our little list and pray if you can do that.
Yeah.
Boy, when something really happens, we find out this play and pray ain't working.
Amen.
And we really got to get a hold of God, and then we can't. Have you ever prayed and you just knew in your heart you did not have an audience?
Yeah.
Be honest.
Yeah.
I'm your pastor. I'm your Jacob. Been there and done that.
Amen.
Pray and you know in your heart God's not listening to you. 9 times out of 10, you know why. At least I do. The Lord's pretty faithful to point it out.
Amen.
You want to talk to me? You ever made your wife real mad? Y'all can nod your little head. 35, 7 years, I know you have. You're a Yankee, you can't help that. Amen. And you try to talk to her if she won't even talk to you? I said, honey, what's the matter? You know exactly. And I'm always, I don't want to apologize for something too quick. She may even be not be what she's mad at. She don't know there's a new shotgun in the safe. You know what I'm saying? I might confess to the wrong thing. You know exactly what's wrong. Well, can we talk? I ain't got nothing to say. But you know what? Usually deep down, I do.
Sure.
That's right. We do know. I've known her long enough to know what bothered her.
Amen.
And deep down we know. But God's the same way. I ain't got nothing to say until you deal with this. You want to talk to me? You're going to have to get this taken care of. We want to hold on to both, don't we?
Yeah.
Right. You keep your Bibles out tonight, and I'm just going to run through these things. I'm going to show you some things in the Bible. I want you to write them down if you've got a pen. Some things that will hinder your prayer life. Man, my granddaddy, he was supposed to have ball practice one night this week, and he got strep throat. And I texted Ashley, and I said, you tell Jonah Pop was praying for him. And I hung up the phone. The Holy Spirit said, you want to do it now?
Amen.
Yes, sir. And I got down from my couch and I prayed, Lord, touch John. Amen. But I don't want my prayers to be hindered when my grandbaby's sick.
Right.
I don't want my prayers to be hindered when I'm trying to pray for somebody who really needs God's help.
Amen.
I don't want my prayers to be hindered when I personally need to hear from heaven. Amen.
Amen.
You're in James already, aren't you? Go to chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. I'm just going to give you some hindrances to prayer. You don't have to say amen to all of these, but I guarantee you we're guilty of them all. James chapter 4 and verse number 3. You can write this down. Selfishness. Selfishness. He said, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. You ask and receive not. In other words, you talk to God and He don't say nothing back. Because you ask amiss. How many of you ever prayed wrong? I prayed for God to kill people. That's horrible, isn't it? But I sure have. I said, Lord, you said vengeance is yours. There they are. What are you waiting on? It's prime time. Get them. When we come before God, our attitude and our motive has got to be right. Let me say it again. When we come before God, our attitude and our motive have got to be right. Sometimes I don't think God is as interested in what we are as we think He is. I had a guy tell me, here, Sunday week, Sunday, when was Super Bowl? Last Sunday? Sunday before last. Whenever it was. I had a guy I know stop me in Walmart. He said, hey, preacher, I need you to pray that the Rams win. Truth be known, he probably had some money riding on him. That may be why they lost. Want me to pray for? I ain't praying for a Super Bowl.
Because
I don't think God cares.
Amen.
I don't think God's sitting in heaven going, oh, we got to help people. Boy, he don't give a real.
That's right.
I'm not even gonna. You ever feel like you just asked God something, He just laughed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm praying for stuff.
Amen.
69 Camaro, and God's going, hey, yeah, right. Amen. Chopper? Yeah. And God's going, uh-huh. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll get this. Pray and you ask Him this. You pray wrong. A lot of times we're not careful. Our prayers are selfish.
That's right.
Listen to me carefully. There is one selfish prayer that God will hear and answer. That's a prayer of salvation. I got saved because of selfish. I didn't get saved to glorify God. I didn't say, Lord, I need you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins so you'll get glory. I said, God, I need you to save me because I don't want to go to hell.
That's right.
Let God hear that one morning. And man, we better be thankful. Amen.
Amen.
We want to make sure when we come to God with whatever our need is that it's not selfish. I believe it's okay to ask God for things. I do.
Amen.
But why are we asking? To edify us or to edify Him? I've been praying for years for brand spanking new
blessings. Oh, yes. Amen.
That a county school system has never touched.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something, Brother Pete?
Yeah.
All you have to do is walk by and say, yep. Let's do that. They only 100,000 people.
Yeah.
We just need four. Lord hadn't answered it yet. But I ain't going to quit praying for it.
Right.
What am I going to do with 40 of us? I don't want Him for me.
Yeah.
I want Him for Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
I want more room. Somehow. Somewhere. Some way.
Yes.
I don't want that for me. Be honest with you. If y'all ain't going to like this statement, but it's honest. Sometimes I don't want this church to be no bigger.
Yeah.
All these young preachers talking about, I want a big old church. You're out of your stinking mind.
Yeah. Right.
I want the will of God. That's what I want.
Amen.
Amen. But I want this thing bigger for me. I want it bigger that He might get more glory.
Amen.
That more might come in and get saved.
Amen.
Selfishness. Make sure your motives are right when you pray.
Amen.
Make sure your motives are right when you pray. Go to Ezekiel, back in your Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter number 14. Ezekiel chapter number 14. Are we doing okay tonight? I've been selfish in my prayers, haven't you? One of my biggest problems is I love me too much.
Amen.
I need to make sure that our prayers are for His glory. Ezekiel chapter 14, I'll give you another one. Go write it down. Idolatry. You know what idolatry is? You know what an idol call it? I don't think anybody in this room's got a statue in their closet. I don't think anybody's got an incense burning in front of a Buddha at the house right now. I really don't. But do we commit idolatry? I want you to watch this in Ezekiel chapter number 14. Look at verse number 3. Ezekiel 14, verse number 3. The Lord said, Son of man, these men have set up their idols. Watch this, where? Not in their closets. Where'd they set them up? In their hearts.
Amen.
And put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Watch what he says. He's a little bit sarcastic. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Question mark. He said they've got idols set up in their hearts. Should I hear anything they got to say? What do you think? That's what God said. In other words, they've got something in here that is bigger than I am.
Yeah.
They got something in their heart that's bigger than I am.
Yep. Amen.
They got something on the living room wall that is bigger than I am.
Amen.
They got something in the garage that is bigger than I am.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
They got something in their purse or in their pocket that is bigger than I am. They got something in their mind that is bigger than I am. Yeah. An idol is anything we put before God. I tried to tell these young people for years, do not spend more time talking to the boyfriend or the girlfriend than you do talking to God.
Amen.
We okay? He said, thou shalt have no other God before me.
Amen.
And ain't none of us worshiping some false God, but we all got idols. I'm a whole hog. Whatever I do, I'm wide open. I've always been that way. If I'm on deer hunt, if I ain't careful, it'll consume me. If I'm on fish, it'll consume me. It ain't enough to have a John boat and go slip off to a pond somewhere. No, I want an $80,000 Skeeter bass boat. Anybody else like that? Horses? I don't want just a little horse. I want a $50,000 quarter horse. Help me, Brother Chris. Where are we at? Huh? Yeah, help me, Lord. What do we do? What do we put before God? We're not careful. It can even be the people we love. We can let get in the way. Look here, just a few minutes. We're going to gather around this altar. And I think I'll let you just put your prayer sheets in the Bible. And we're going to get on this altar somewhere between here and there, somewhere between our knees and the floor. We're not going to be finding out what's going on. God, what have I put before you? Do you know what he'll do if you ask him? He'll show you.
Yeah.
God, what is it? What's keeping me from having sweet communion with you? Just that. He's a good father. He's not going to do like my wife. Father, what's wrong? No. Lord, I want things to be right. It's fine. No, he's not that way. He's going to say, here it is. And usually when I ask him, when I'm humble enough to ask him, I already know in my heart. Lord, I know what it is. Help me. Help me move it. Father, I know I let this get bigger than I should have. I know I let this get out of hand. God, could you help me? Could you help me choke this back down a little bit? I'll give you an illustration. For years, I really dreamed about fishing professionally. I did. I wanted to be a professional bass fisher. And people laugh. And these guys that I fished against years and years ago that are making $1 million a year just in sponsorship. Big money. Speaking. And the Lord called me to preach. Me and Mitch's daddy, we was fishing a tournament somewhere every week. Two if we could find out. The Lord called me to preach. Then he called me the pastor. Mama said, you're going to have to stop fishing so much. I said, nah. Then the Lord started dealing with my heart about going full time. First thing he said was, sell it. Sell what, Lord? That's exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah.
You want more of me? You're going to have to give that Isaac up.
Amen.
You want to do more? You want more? don't have to lay that out of that. I've told this story many times. I was working for the Board of Education. I had an old handicapped bus, a short bus, that we converted into a work truck. I got down on my knees during my lunch hour in the middle of that bus, and I prayed. I said, God, if that's your will, if that's standing in the way, I need a bus. I come home from fishing a tournament at midnight and wash it.
Yeah.
I said, God, if that's your will, if that's standing in the way, God, let somebody come up to me and ask me if I want to say. I got done playing and drove to the county bus barn to fill up my work truck. I'm standing there pumping gas. A mechanic comes out of the building. Hey, you still got that boat? Yep. You want to get rid of it, dude? You're thinking, seriously? That fast? Okay, God, if it's really you.
Yeah.
If it's really your will, God, I'm just going to give this guy a price that he's going to laugh at. But if it's really your will, he won't bat an eye. I said, yeah, I'll probably take such and such car. He said, can you bring it tomorrow? He said, cash be okay? I'm like, I ain't got nothing else, God. I went home, sold my boat. Told my wife, I said, I sold the boat. She said, you're lying. Did you buy another one? I said, God told me, except told her the whole story. It's amazing what God's doing in your life when you've got something that's bigger than He is and you lose everything out of
it. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I thought I'd lose my mind. Ain't nothing wrong with fishing. When it gets bigger than God, there's something wrong.
Amen.
With
that's right. Amen.
And I'm talking about I didn't wean myself up. I quit. I didn't pick up a fishing rod for about 15 years. Nothing. Not a period. Wow. Then one day I got a phone call. Brother BJ Beard. Brother BJ said, Brother Eddie, you want a bass boat? I was like, yeah. He said, I got one for sale. I said, can I come look at it? But before I did, I asked God. I said, Lord, do you think it'd be okay? He said, yeah, go ahead. Got it for nearly nothing. In words, that set me my son-in-law's basement. In other words, he uses way more than I do. There's nothing in this world so good or so great that it deserves a priority over our thought.
Amen.
Nothing. If we're not careful, that stuff that we set up above Him, more important than Him, He can move it.
Yes, He can.
He can move it. Selfishness, idolatry. Can I give you another?
Sure.
This one's huge. Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11. I know it's not really hard preaching tonight, but it's just, I guarantee you it'll help you. You get this altar tonight and say, God, what is it? What is it, God, that I need to move out of the way? Mark chapter number 11, write this down. Unforgiveness. That's probably the greatest hindrance to prayer of anything I know of.
Yeah.
People who are doing their best to live right and to do right, faithful in church, they tithe their income, they do everything they're supposed to, witness, hand out the gospel tract, they do everything they're supposed to do, but in their heart, something's here. And it'll enter your prayer life worse than anything in the world. Mark chapter number 11. Did I take chapter 11? Look with me at verse number 25. Mark chapter number 11, verse number 25. When you stand and pray, what's the next word?
Forgive.
Forgive if you have aught against any. That your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses.
Wow.
But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. That's serious business right there.
Yeah.
If I'm harboring bitterness in my heart, I can't even get my own sin cleaned. I'm wasting my breath. If I hadn't took care of that forgiveness thing. I pray all the time, Lord, if I've got it all in my heart, help me with it. Show it to me if there is. As far as I know, I'm not mad at nobody. I ain't got a bitter bone in my body. I've lived with it for years. And I'm here to tell you, God can deliver you from it.
Amen.
And I knew I had it. It's my own dad. And I just kept asking, God, please, get this out of my heart. Get this. And I'm telling you, it was dug in deep. I mean, it was almost like God had to do open heart surgery to get that thing out of there.
Amen, Richard.
But he did.
Amen.
And I had a relationship with my daddy after that I never dreamed I'd have.
Amen.
Forgiveness. Who matters? Who matters? What are you holding on to? Be careful of them grudges. They're like bugs.
Amen.
They'll pull you down to the bottom and will not let you up. They'll sink you spiritually. The meanest Christians I know, and some Christians are dog mean. I've seen some stuff in church, man, that I ain't seen the like of in a ball.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. And a buddy of mine went in a bar a long time ago before I got saved. And it was in Austell. And it was a well-known leap-in, limp-out. Was it called Bill's Steakhouse, brother?
Yes.
That's where everybody's going, do about it? That was a well-known place to die. And that's all I heard all my life, how bad it was. I was scared to death, man. Well, I went in there in my head then, I ain't making eye contact with nobody, you know. Man, there wasn't nothing to it. I thought church is worse than this. That's sad. From all the spots I've seen, been at church. People screaming and yelling at one another. Treating each other in ways that just unforgiving. Well, bless God if they'd come and ask me, what if they don't? Forgiveness is your responsibility. Were they ever out of you or not?
Yes, sir.
You're going to have to forgive them for your own spiritual sake. I mean, you've got a prayer need answered. Better get that unforgiveness out of your heart.
Amen.
Brother Freddie prayed for his daddy for 23 years.
Yes, sir.
23 years. I helped him pray for him for a lot of them years. What if he had died and went to hell? Then the Lord came back and said, well, Freddie, the reason that your dad didn't get saved is because of what you've been guarding in your heart. That'd be tough to live with, wouldn't it? I'm telling you, ain't nobody done me no kind of way that's worth not getting my prayers heard and answered.
Amen.
I can let go of just about anything.
Amen.
Amen. I've got to be able to have this communication line.
Amen.
I can't even preach to y'all if I can't pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Understand that?
Yes, sir.
You think these services like we have just happened?
No,
preacher.
No.
You think that's just, well, just out of the blue? No! That's because somebody prayed!
Yes, bro.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody praise God. We need you today.
Yeah.
God. We need to have you move.
Man, please,
yeah. I've got to have those prayers answered.
Yes.
How many kids we seen saved in the last 2 weeks? 15.
Yeah.
Amen.
15. Amen. That didn't stop because I'm mad at somebody.
Amen.
I don't want that to stop because I can't get over what you put on Facebook. Sometimes the things that we allow to hinder our prayer is so petty.
That's right.
If you really look at it, you just laugh. Amen. Unforgiveness. I hope you wrote that one down. Psalms chapter 66. Psalms chapter 66. Doesn't take too long, man. Y'all are good, though, ain't you? Psalms chapter number 66. I told y'all to turn it out of here. I'm sorry. Psalms chapter 66. Write this down. It's a big one. This is a whopper right here. You conquer this one, you can deal with the rest of them, no problem. Yeah. Write this down. Unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Psalm 66, verse number 18. Psalm 66, verse number 18. Psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Amen.
Could he be any plainer than that?
Right.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I got into a pretty, and I don't argue, I'll walk away. I'll walk off somebody's porch, I'm not going to argue in front of security, I'm not going to, let's go sit there and fight, because that's all they're going to do is fight. There's this church up in Tennessee. I don't even know if it's still there, but Freddie, you know what I'm talking about. That Potter guys there, they preach and talk to their Baptist church, independent Baptist church. I don't, like I said, I don't know if they're still going, but I run into one of the cronies there that went to that church. I met him in a meeting. It was all out to eat after him. He wanted to jump on this thing about grace. In other words, we don't have to confess our sins because it was all took care of at Calvary, past, present, and future. Yeah, it was. I said, I agree with you 100%. So then why do you have to confess your sins? I said, because I commit them.
That's right.
And the Bible told me I have to confess my sins.
Amen.
All you want to do is fight and argue. I said, now I'm going to have to go back to the motel. I'm going to have to ask God to forgive me for getting mad at you because you're an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I did. I didn't have to be mad, son. I need to have people look at me and say they don't sin. Well, you know I'm a child of God. I don't sin. Option with my salvation.
Amen.
I got the kind that the flesh still likes to stumble every day.
Yeah.
Unconfessed sin. It's so easy to point out everybody else's, isn't it?
Right.
Now, that's why social media is so powerful. Because everybody loves to point out everybody's problems. I was going to say something. Oh, when we come before God, how many of you are guilty of this? Lying to yourself.
Man.
I'm pretty good at convincing me. I'm all right. I'm okay. Brother Freddie said it Monday night. I must be all right. God's using it. What that preacher did with that woman, it must be okay because God's still using it. Careful.
Right.
You need to understand something. I preached a message on this years ago. Your spiritual gift and your spirituality are two different things.
Amen. Amen.
You can teach your Sunday school class, teach an awesome lesson. You can sit in there, walk up that piano, sing an awesome song. I'm telling you how. Sing like God all over you. Because you've got a spiritual gift. That means very spiritual.
That's right. Amen.
I've had to walk in this pulpit, Brother Freddie, a few times where I didn't feel real spiritual at all. Okay to be honest?
Yes, sir.
I try my best to get straight beforehand. I've even told God, Lord, you know I'm not worthy to even stand here. I didn't do it, you did. Get it right and we'll go on. Get it right and we'll go on. Unconfessed sin. You know what I try to do? And I'm just talking to you now. I try to confess them as I do it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's what I did when I first got saved. When I got saved, my cusser didn't quit. I had to work on that thing.
Amen.
And every time I cussed, I'd stop right before I help me not do it again. Right then.
Yes,
lose my temper, shoot my mouth off. Lord, please forgive me. Lord, let's get this. Don't let this. You know what'll happen? You'll go throughout your day. You'll get home. You'll eat supper. You'll watch your show. You'll go to bed and forget what you've done.
Absolutely.
I'm talking about confessing sin. I'm not talking about just getting big stuff like getting drunk, getting high, fooling with a woman, a fair, or none of that kind. I'm talking about little stuff. The big stuff, man, usually we'll get took care of pretty quick because we're really soft. But the little stuff, at least it ain't like so-and-so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
1 John 1:9 is still in the book. We'll confess our sin. If we'll confess our sin, He's faithful.
Yeah.
Woo.
Amen.
And just.
Amen.
To forgive us our sin.
Amen.
And cleanse us from what?
That's
it. Now listen, if that guy from that church in Tennessee is right, why is that verse in the book?
Yeah.
If it's all took care of, I don't need to be cleaned anymore. I was born into the White family one time. November 13th, 1964. I was born into the family one time, but I took a whole bunch of baths since then.
Yeah.
The worst ones was when I didn't do a good enough job the first time that Mama did. She rubbed a hide off your head. I thought that ring, I thought God made me that way.
Yeah.
We ought to get clean every single day. How do you get clean? This book will clean you up.
Amen.
It will. This book will clean you. Sometimes it's like a Brillo pad too.
Amen.
Confession. Get on your face before God. And literally apologize. Before my wife and I, when she's mad at me, before we can have a good communication, I've got to get whatever it is I did wrong right.
Amen.
She got after me for something I said in the pulpit Sunday. And I didn't mean to. It come out wrong. He said, what'd you say? Ain't none of your business. You're sitting there. I didn't even catch it. Boy, she did. As soon as she said, I went, yep. I said, I'm sorry, baby. You forgive me. I said, I already did. I said, I just think you need to know what you said. Yes, ma'am. Unconfessed sin. You got time for two more?
Yes, sir.
1 Peter chapter number 3. After you find that, let me write this down. Problems in the home. Problems in the home. I tell you, something's wrong. When you go great effort to be right with people in the church, but you don't put no effort into being right with
people.
Amen.
Come on. Amen.
Are we okay?
Yeah.
1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter 3.
Amen.
You look at this verse. We got a real good one. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse number 7. He said, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Watch this. That what?
Prayers.
Your prayers be not hindered.
Amen.
That your prayers be not hindered. Listen, your relationship with your wife, sir, is vitally important. It's as important as your relationship with God. Can I say that again? Your relationship with your spouse is as important as your relationship with God. If your relationship is not right with your wife, you automatically are messed up in your relationship with God.
Amen.
I've asked married couples in my office over and over. They come to me for marriage counseling. First thing I do, I look at the lady and say, ma'am, as far as you know, are you right with God? Oh, yes, sir. Look at the man and say, sir, as far as you know, are you right with God? Oh, yeah, yes, sir. What are you doing in here? Everything's all right with you and God. Everything should be all right with you and her.
Yeah.
The reason things ain't right with you and God is because things ain't right with you and her.
Yeah.
Works both ways. The reason things ain't right with you and her is because things ain't right with God either.
It's
all right.
Yeah.
I have walked off this platform. Walk right down there to where Brother Philip Daniels is sitting and apologize to my wife during the sermon. Why? Because I got to preach.
Amen.
Somebody's going to be sitting there that's going to die and go to hell.
Amen. Amen.
I think it's bad. I make jokes about it all the time. About watching y'all in the parking lot out of my office window on Sunday morning. I ain't watching to be nosy. I do it every Sunday. I look out at the parking lot and just get a burden when I see the people coming in. Lord, help me, help me. But countless times I've seen husbands and wives sitting there being just going at it. And then walking the door with a big old smile on their face. Come on, you know, but man, get that ride.
Man.
Get that ride. Our kids, it might be that day. It might be that day God's going to save your child.
Yeah, that's right.
Might be that day God's going to do something wonderful in your heart and in your life. But you let a squabble. Had a man stand in my office. This happened in too very long ago, maybe a year. Looked me dead in my face. He's my friend. I love him with all my heart. And he said, there's two words that will never come out of my mouth. I said, what two words is that? I knew where he was going. He said, I'll never say I'm sorry. I said, well, you can because you just did it. You have the ability. Well, you bet that's two very important words.
Amen.
Remember, remember men when you were young and cocky? Bless God, I'm a man of life. You stupid of the house.
Yeah. Amen.
Right. Been there and done that.
Yep. That's right.
Man, more than anything in this world, I need being heard of God.
Yeah. Right.
That's a big deal to me.
Yeah.
Some people are different than others, but I can't. If things ain't right, man, I can't even function. I get anxiety.
Yeah.
I just don't even know what that was. I can't go to sleep. I just can't. Does it bother me so bad? Does it bother you anymore? Or can you just roll over and start snoring? I apologize to my wife. I do it heartily. I'll apologize to her before I know what's wrong. So that's ridiculous. No, it ain't. I am sorry. Well, what if you don't know what you did? I'm still sorry. I'm sorry she's mad.
All right.
I'm sorry I let her down. I'm sorry I disappointed her.
Amen.
Boy, you got a kid that's in trouble, a child that's lost, that you need to get prayers through. Well, you better make sure you're right with each other.
Amen.
apologize to my wife for not being the leader that she needs me to be. Sometimes she needs a pastor too.
Amen.
Talk about what will cause trouble to you in prayer life. I thank God for my life.
Amen.
I tell the Lord every day, which I appreciate the gift that He gave me. He said, "You're an impact." No, I'm the man.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Say that again. I'm not him pegged, I'm married.
Amen.
My wife don't him peg me. I do anything I want, when I want. I buy what I want, go where I want. But I just say good words like we do.
Amen.
Don't let your relationship with one another hinder your relationship with God. He said, "That's your prayer, be not hindered." Well, we've got some more. James chapter number 1, you turn back over there, go back to you later. James chapter number 1, you can write this down, but it's just a simple lack of faith. In your prayer. Be honest, have you ever prayed in doubt?
Yes.
Prayed asking God about something you never believed He's going to do for you. Lord, save so and so. Then in your heart, you're like, "I think He's never going to be saved." Friend, you ever get saved after 23 years?
Amen.
Anybody can.
Amen.
Yeah, but you don't know how bad so and so was or is. How bad was the Apostle Paul?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He had something worse than an addiction problem or a woman problem.
Yeah.
He is a murderer.
Yeah. Amen.
He hated Jesus Christ.
Amen. Right.
He hated His followers. And what did the Lord do? Saved him and let him write more books in the Bible than anybody.
Amen.
So bad. Go figure.
Yeah.
Well, tell me what God can and can't do.
Amen.
The Lord said about them Israelites over in Psalms that they had limited the Holy One of Israel. Brother Chris preached on that one time. How we limit God by our lack of faith. I believe God can do anything.
Right.
Do you?
Yeah,
I believe He can. I believe He can give us a new building. He wants to. I believe He can give us some new blessings, Brother Pete.
Yeah.
I do. I believe He can do that.
Yes,
He wants to.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm not going to get mad at Him if He don't. But I know He can. Amen. Where did I tell you to go? James chapter 1.
Yeah.
Verse number 5. And we'll go.